Why do they do that? Why do they do the mirror? Who wants to see that? I mean, really, does Steve McDowell want to see himself doing the downward dog in the mirror?
Steve, well, I don't want to get there. That's a little personal.
And onto the podcast.
Steve McDowell. Who are you?
I'm Matt Kimball.
Data center analyst for More Insights and Strategy, the two of us.
Yeah.
We're off the road. We gave up Orlando.
Orlando gave us up. Couldn't handle us.
And yeah. So a lot of news, big news. We skipped some news while we were off traipsing around Florida. Big earnings week. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we want to talk about first. So HPE did earnings yesterday, NetApp and Pure. There's some interesting things to say there.
Yep.
I will say before we jump into that, looking at all three of them, there were a couple of interesting themes, I think, that emerged that crossed all the vendors. One is, to a person, they all talked about the elongation of the enterprise sales cycle. What's happening, Matt?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about that. You're right. They did. I think one of the three has a lot more credibility in talking about that than the other two.
So I would think two of the three. NetApp has been selling into the enterprise for 20 years. HPE, that's their bread and butter.
Well,
Pure is new to it, and we'll talk about Pure separately. Pure has different challenges.
Let me restate that, though, because I want to make sure I get this. I say this the way I intended it. I don't buy NetApp's story. I buy HPE's story, and I don't think Pure even understands enterprise yet.
Maybe fair. So HPE said that, and NetApp recognized it. And HPE said that the elongation enterprise sales cycle, they don't know if that's a slowdown or if this is the last quarter, too, and there were a lot of product updates and Xeon was happening. Were people waiting to see? Or is there something more fundamental? Is there going to be a elongation of that sales cycle next quarter?
Well, if you look across HPE's numbers, it looks like it's more than just related to Xeon being refreshed, because it impacted areas that have nothing to do with Xeon, right? So I don't think it's that. I don't buy that the enterprise sales cycle is all of a sudden being dragged out longer. My personal opinion, based on and kind of aligning all of this to IDC's numbers over the last couple of quarters, is that you're starting to see the market slow down a little bit.
That's fair. You may. Well, let's talk about HPE earnings. So they beat their number. They were up 1% year over year. But if you look at the subsegments, I think some interesting stuff's happening.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tick down the list, and you can jump in when you've got something you want to say, brother. Intelligent Edge, which you're a fan of HPE's activities around Edge.
Mm-hmm.
They're down 5%. It remains a strong focus for the company. Now, Neri in the conference call said it's not a problem with our products or demand or mix. He said we're having some challenges with our North America sales execution, particularly as it applies to Edge.
Yeah.
So nothing wrong there except some organizational problems on the sales side.
Now, and this is an area where I think you can talk to a sales cycle maybe being a little bit different than they anticipated, because the sell into Edge, and especially where Dr. Tom has focused HPE's attention, and he's doing a lot on the industrial side and the network, but certainly the industrial side, I don't think that's a different sale than going and selling a bunch of HPE DL380s into an enterprise.
And I agree. Yeah. And early days for Edge. You look at Edge and it's not, you're right. It's not like buying a server, right? It's I'm going wholesale into an architecture that's going to impact, the far reaches of my business.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of POCs. There's going to be a lot of evaluation across vendors.
Yep.
Before people pull the trigger. And I wouldn't be surprised if, early Edge deployments, are taking a year to close a deal, just with the kind of validation you want to put into that kind of solution.
Yep.
At the same time, there's going to be industrial PCs and things like that fit into the Intelligent Edge bucket that are going to get refreshed, right? So there's solid revenue there. But the big play you know, it's still 2 years down the road. That's my perspective.
Yep. I would agree.
You would agree?
I would agree.
And you like what HP is doing with Edge.
I love what HP is doing with Edge. I think they have a very strong all-up story, and they kind of address, you know, we've talked about this in previous podcasts, you know, network versus industrial versus, you know, point solution for, you know, and kind of going across the edge spectrum. And I think they do a good job of telling a very holistic story. And they have product and partnerships to back it up. So, yeah.
Their storage business was 5%. You know, the enterprise storage market last year, that's a quarter, year over year for the quarter, right? So I don't know what their full year was. I think that's generally in line with kind of the market. HP's not done a storage refresh in a while. They're overdue. I think we're expecting some announcements of Discover. So 5%. And they did say, they broke that down further and said Nimble Storage, which is kind of their mid-range, was up 45% in the quarter, right? So there's strong demand for flash replacement in the you know, kind of hot moving into the mid-tier. So good for Nimble. HPE staying positive. They're up 5%. NetApp, by contrast, and we'll talk about them in a second, was down, was negative. So yeah. While Pure Storage is up 28%, but, you know, the percentages, you know, HP is selling a lot more product than Pure. So, you know,
right.
Dollar wise.
That HP number is a little bit more impressive given the volume.
It is. It is. Their HCI business, and this is, you know, flip that, because their HCI business is relatively small. It was up 25% for the quarter. And that's largely synergy. That's not the new Nutanix stuff that they're talking about.
That's actually not synergy.
Simplivity. Yeah. Simplivity. Yeah. The Nutanix stuff won't hit until third quarter, right? And that's going to be a GreenLake offering first, and then an appliance through the partner channel.
Yeah, and that might even take a couple of quarters to really start to see take off on that. You know, you talk about HCI, their composable business, which is Synergy, that was up 78%. So, again, you know, it's not the largest volume, but, you know, that's still significant growth on the composable side.
Well, what that's showing, I think we're seeing this from everybody playing in cloud, even NetApp, with their disappointing earnings, so they showed strong growth in their cloud business.
Yeah.
You know, people are embracing cloud and figuring out how to do this hybrid cloud modern architecture. And that's reflected in the revenues. I mean, it's still not, you know, $10 billion, but there's momentum, right? And we're seeing data points here to show a trend.
Yeah. And one of the things I found interesting in the HPE numbers, you know, it's easy to look at server or to look at computer storage and say up 2 points, down 4 points. But, you know, if you're doing this on some of these areas like Nimble, when you dig a little deeper, you know, as a market, we have to remember that HPE in a lot of ways is kind of retooling and transforming themselves, right? You know, they pulled out of trying to sell servers into cloud. They, you know, they're trying to go after the higher value workloads and infrastructure that supports those workloads. And when you look from that perspective, they're on course, man. Their HPC business is up 25%. They go and they acquire Cray, which is going to, you know, I think is going to be great for them. We can talk about that a little bit later. Their GreenLake orders are up 39% year over year.
It was their largest GreenLake quarter ever.
Yeah, right. So I mean, the areas where they want to, you know, you talk about kind of skating to the puck, right? If you look at where the puck is, they're definitely skating in that direction, which should give, you know, people who were you know, kind of considering HPE as a strategic partner should make those folks feel a little bit better, because the areas they're trying to focus on, they are executing, and they're executing very strongly against. So
I think you're right, and we beat them up, and people beat them up a little bit, because we look at IDC numbers every quarter, right? And that's kind of our scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not fair, right, to HPE, because, as you said, they are driving a transformation. And if you look at where they're trying to drive that, whether it's hybrid IT, which was also up, You know, it's not about the point products and how they're doing relative to the competitors. It's really about how IT is shifting the balance of their workloads and how HPE is adapting to that. And I think HPE and Dell Ball have done a tremendous job there.
Yeah.
You mentioned GreenLake. There was a comment I pulled out of the earnings call that Neri said. He was talking about GreenLake, but then he was talking about the Cray acquisition. Mm-hmm. And he said, and this is a quote, customer benefits will include new offerings in AI, machine learning, and analytics with HPE GreenLake. So, I think maybe we're looking at HPC on demand, maybe. I mean, they have an impressive HPC business to start with.
HPC as a service.
It was interesting that he married in his comments, and this was in his prepared comments, so it was scripted, right? The Cray acquisition with GreenLake.
Yeah. Well,
and with machine learning and analytics, which, you know, I think was maybe an underreported piece of this. AI and analytics, we talk about this all the time, moving into the enterprise. You can learn a lot from the HPC world on how to do that right.
Right.
I think Cray is going to bring some learning and some IP into enterprise machine learning and AI. And that's a strategic part of this as much as the HPC business.
So, you know, one of the things I'm curious to see kind of unfold here is exactly how HPE leverages the IP portfolio and just the knowledge of that Cray team without diluting Cray. And whether they can kind of leverage that across their portfolio effectively. I look at the Nimble acquisition, and I don't know how long it's been since the acquisition, but I'm still waiting to see some of the. You're starting to see some of it with InfoSight, but I'm kind of curious to see how strongly or how well they can integrate or leverage all of that IP across their existing HPC business and product portfolio.
Yeah, so I think that's a fair concern. And HPE, right, they've made some good acquisitions from Simplivity and 3PAR and Nimble and now Cray and some software companies along the way. You're right. They tend to slow roll the integration. What I will say, though, in fairness to the current HP leadership, right, is he's been on the job for a year.
Right,
So this is the first big acquisition under the new leadership team.
Sure.
And to your point earlier, right, they're executing on the strategic buckets, right? Mm-hmm. Let's focus on the point products, on the long-term vision. So let's give them a chance and let's see, but I think that's fair. And there's a fair amount of overlap between Cray's portfolio and some of the HPC stuff that HPE sells, particularly around storage.
Yeah.
So you see how all that shakes out.
Well, and I think Antonio, because, I mean, his roots are in data center, right? I think he is, if anybody is going to be effective at these kinds of integrations, if you will, he's the guy that's going to be able to do it because he gets all of the kind of underlying idiosyncrasies, nuances, whatever kind of term you want to throw at it, but understands, you know, how to effectively integrate all of this.
Yep. Yeah. They didn't talk a lot about networking. I don't think they mentioned server on the call. They broke it out in the earnings numbers. Anything interesting on the server piece?
No, just that, you know, again, going, you know, their big emphasis on what they call value servers versus volume. And for people who listen who don't kind of track this stuff, when HPE talks about volume servers, they're talking about a couple of things. Number one, they're talking about there is some kind of thought to hyperscale and the ODM-like business that HPE pulled out of completely. But volume also refers to, you know, those boxes that are selling through the channel, CDW, it's an info, or not InfoSight, SHI, so on and so forth. That's all kind of just transactional business. Value server is the richly configured, supporting the mission critical workloads that sit in the enterprise. They focused very heavily on the value side and talked about that quite a bit. That's where HPC, composable, et cetera, comes into play. And I think, you know, less emphasis is putting on volume outside of doing programs because there's really not a lot you do to that. It's more of a commodity sale at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but a very strong story on the value side.
All right, let's move to a weaker story. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but NetApp released their earnings. And I've been bearish on NetApp for a couple of quarters now, right? I'm watching what they're selling and how they're talking about it. And you know, my perception is a lot of their growth and all-flash and things like that have been, you know, largely selling to their own customers, and their numbers are tracking, you know, toward the conclusion that I'm reaching that, that you know, they're starting to saturate that market. So they were down. You know, the external storage market, according to IDC, grew at about 13-14% last year. NetApp was down 3%.
Yeah.
That's ugly. They said they've their OEM business was down significantly in Q4, and we do not expect it to recover.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much, you know, you and I talked about this offline, right? What that means, their OEM business. I think apart from Cisco, I don't know how much sell-through they were doing with other OEMs.
Yeah, they had a partnership. I think I mentioned this. They had a partnership with Fujitsu to do a CI solution. But, you know, that was very focused on APJ, you know, Asia, and some in Europe. And I don't think it ever really kind of found any real momentum in the market. So that's the only other thing I can think of. You know what really kind of made me raise my eyebrows when I was reading through?
Do tell.
I will. They talked about how they were closing geographies or closing countries and laying off people in specific countries where they thought channel could do a better job of selling their solution. That to me reeks of pulling out of markets.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, that's never a good sign.
No. And the other bad sign, they said there was a particular weakness on maintenance contract renewals. Mm-hmm. Right? That sounds boring, but if I'm invested long-term with my NetApp gear, I'm buying the maintenance contract. And it's usually a bright spot in everybody's earnings. For those to go down, I don't know if that's an early indicator of
people are moving off.
Or what.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bode well. I don't know what's going on there because their products are competitive, right? And their brand is strong. They made a lot of noise on the call, and they're making a lot of noise in their marketing about, you know, cloud is our future and we're moving all our IP to cloud. And they're providing file service for Azure that's online. That's online this quarter, I think.
I think some of this, I'm kind of, you're the storage guy, so you know this better than I do, but, you know, reading the NetApp announcement, reading the Pure announcement, and I'm not trying to transition, I'm just trying to make a point here. I read something in the Pure announcement, or maybe it was in the analysis of Pure. No, it was Pure, mentioned how the incumbent, you know, the big incumbent in storage, they're talking specifically, I think, about Dell EMC, how they were not going to give them any kind of opportunity to compete in enterprise. It compete's the wrong word, but that Dell EMC was, they were going after those enterprise customers really, really hard. And yes. I wonder if this is, NetApp is running into some of the same kind of resistance.
So that's an interesting point. When you look at who are the kind of standalone storage players, and I'm going to set IBM aside for a second, it's Pure and NetApp. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Pure and NetApp, Pure has kind of a halo around it, right? They're a fast innovator.
Yeah.
They're an extremely aggressive marketing company in a way that NetApp isn't, right? NetApp is still kind of your stay-at enterprise marketing guys advertising the computer world. Pure is out there. They were out there during Dell Tech World, and every time Dell did a storage thing, Dell, you know, Pure's all kind of, where's the beef?
Yeah.
So, you know, as Dell pushes hard against the Pure Play Storage guys, you know, Pure Storage is going to continue to win just based on kind of their attitude and reputation right now, not necessarily, well, their technology is good as well, right? But and NetApp is getting hurt and caught in that crossfire and doesn't know how to respond.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, their long-term strategy, as it seems like everybody says right now, is we're moving to cloud, we're moving to hybrid cloud. You know, what remains to be seen in this transition. And you know, I'm not an investor or stock guy, right? But moving from $100,000 storage array to cloud services, your profit numbers, let me say this a different way, your top and bottom lines look extremely different, I think, in those worlds. And that hasn't, we haven't shaken that out yet.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to show revenue declines, maybe, moving to more of a software model, even though your other fundamentals might shift. So that'll be interesting to see how the economics play, right, as we move into more software-based services for all of these guys.
Yeah. You know, it just makes me wonder if the market, because you hit on something in there a couple of minutes ago about, you know, the two standalone players versus, you know, the Dell EMCs and the HPEs. Mm-hmm. Makes me wonder if, you know, it's like everything else in compute where, or everything else in infrastructure where it's all, from an IT perspective, it's all just being munged into different Lego parts that support the software-defined world. And there's less of a premium, especially at the enterprise, there's less of a premium put on the specialization or the expertise that these standalone companies bring that maybe the bigger guys don't. Because it's all just bits and bytes to them or Lego parts to them.
Sure, yeah.
You know.
The other thing I want to say about NetApp, and then we can move on, they didn't talk about Lenovo. They made a brief comment about a China JV without name check on Lenovo. And this is notable because you and I were at Lenovo Accelerate last week, and I have to be careful because these were NDA sessions, and I'm trying to get clarity on what we can say and not say. But Lenovo was extremely bullish on NetApp's contribution to their bottom line,
yeah.
And so they're putting up significant numbers in China and starting to hit some other geos. And actually, NetApp pulling out of some of these geos is enabling Lenovo to go in and do some direct sales.
Yep.
Lenovo didn't, or NetApp didn't talk about that. And I don't know, what we don't know about this whole thing, and it's fuzzy, is, you know, the Lenovo deal is not necessarily Lenovo reselling NetApp product, right? I think what we've learned is Lenovo is manufacturing NetApp mm-hmm. product to NetApp spec, right? And it's co-branded or however it's branded. It's not clear what the revenue split looks like, right, between Lenovo and NetApp and who's really getting the benefit.
Right.
But I found it notable that NetApp didn't talk about Lenovo while Lenovo was extremely bullish on what they're doing with storage.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it makes you kind of wonder why.
Yeah. So we'll see. And honestly, and I said this in an interview I gave, if NetApp's OEM business is falling, right, and they're losing deals to the full stack guys, man, I would be doubling down with Lenovo, who is on fire in data center right now, and leveraging the hell out of that relationship.
Yep.
That would be the smart play for NetApp. And maybe they're going there and they're just not ready to talk about it. But if you're losing deals to full stack providers and you have a partner who's a full stack provider minus storage, I'll be doubling down. I'd be doubling down with Lenovo and tweaking the heck out of my Cisco relationship.
Yeah. 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 And they don't break out. They didn't break out revenue. No, it's just all under the OEM bucket. They don't speak publicly about the revenue they derive from Cisco and other partners, right? Yeah, yeah.
Nope. So that's NetApp. The other notable one, and we've already kind of talked a little bit about this, Pure Storage. Yeah. So they missed their number. While they missed their number, they're in their EPS number. They did show 28% year-over-year growth in revenue, right? Mm-hmm. So they're not losing business. They're having execution problems. And if you read the transcript or listen to the call, they're blaming that on enterprise sales cycle from a couple of perspectives. And I think we saw this with Nutanix last quarter and probably this quarter as well, right? You go into the enterprise and the sales cycles are a lot longer than your SMB sales are used to.
See, now I read, it's funny you say that because I read that a little bit differently than you do. I didn't read that they are running into longer sales cycles. I read that they don't understand the enterprise sales process, which is
maybe. Well, hang on. So the other thing they said, right, and let's be fair and pure, is they increased their sales force by 40%, most of that in the past 6 months, mm-hmm. which took focus from quarters, as well. And I believe that, right?
Yeah.
So their stock's getting beat up based on a miss. But if you look at their growth,
yeah,
like 20%, and then when they gave projections for this year, you know, NetApp says we're looking for a flat to down year. Pure says we're projecting 27% plus growth this year, and we're going to take erosion from other storage OEMs.
Yeah. So they're the Nutanix of the storage world. So let me ask you this though, because you are the storage guy. You know this.
I am the storage guy.
I mean, when you look at those numbers from Pure, and you kind of overlay their growth relative to the market, that's still very strong growth, right?
It's extremely strong growth. There, you know, IDC, you have to pay for the IDC report that breaks it out past 5 or 6, right? But they, I don't remember what the number was, but they were in the tens of millions of dollars difference between Pure's published numbers and what IDC said the number 5 storage guy was.
Yeah.
Right? So they're about to move into the ranking. And if NetApp continues to drop, and we haven't seen IDC numbers for the quarter yet, right?
Yeah.
Pure's going to move up the stack. And what I like about Pure, you know, they have strong storage offerings, but they're also taking, they're jumping both feet in on storage on demand, capacity on demand. It's kind of a GreenLake model,
mm-hmm.
Which is very different from what Dell EMC announced at their conference, which is more they're working with MSPs to do storage on demand.
Right.
Pure business, and they are investing heavily in bridging on-site and cloud in a way that some of the other guys are not. And they made a comment, I pulled this out of the earnings transcript, and there's no color, so I'm going to reach out to them and see if they can give us more detail. But it says, and this is a quote, our relationship with Amazon AWS is advancing through further joint engineering development, sales enablement, and global alignment.
Okay.
That implies that there's something going on with Amazon beyond we're spinning up a product and selling it on their store.
Was that a prepared remark, or was that a...
That was part of the prepared remarks. Now, one of the analysts did ask something about Amazon on the sales enablement side. And Pure's point was, and I think it's a fair one, Amazon is motivated to resell Pure, or resell is maybe the wrong word, but push Pure, right? Because Pure's model is such that you put Pure on Amazon, Amazon is selling some fairly significant compute under that. So it's a win-win. Now, you know, we'll see what the other storage guys do there.
But what caught my eye
was joint engineering development and alignment.
So Pure, in their numbers, I know you look deeper at these guys in particular, in their numbers, do they give deeper breakouts on revenue? You know, so is it understanding that they are still figuring out enterprise, but do they give you any, did you get any sense as to what their enterprise update?
No, they don't break that out, and they weren't asked that on the call.
All right.
You know, we did a $330 million quarter. 30% of that is international, right? 70% is U.S., they're running stellar gross margins. I mean, these are amazing. Their gross margin is 68%.
Oh, it's amazing what you can do when you're a software company, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So keep watching them. Where I worry about Pure, right, is the breadth of their portfolio and how Dell is going to come in and step on, you know, everybody who doesn't have the broad portfolio, and HPE as well, right? So at some point, I want my capacity on demand to include storage and compute, not just storage. So it would be interesting to see how Pure answers that.
It's an interesting challenge, because it's like you have to, if you're Pure, you have to transition, or not transition, but open up into enterprise as well, right? And big enterprise. But that Dell EMC and HPE incumbency is going to be tough to fight against. It's not even a technology discussion at that point, right? It's not a technology,
right? And if you look at the technology, well, I don't know. Every product release, it shifts, right? Who's got the biggest and the best? Mm-hmm. You know, speeds matter less than, you know, is it a long-term strong partner for me? Is an IT guy to go invest in?
Right.
But part of it is messaging and perception, right? And I think this is where Pure is beating NetApp and where Pure is being very aggressive against Dell. And Dell may be making a mistake by responding to Pure, right? Because Pure can be snarky.
Yeah.
And sometimes Dell snaps back. And it reminds me a little bit of our current political situation.
If I were Dell, I would not give them any oxygen. I mean, I'd say they're doing it for a reason, right?
If I were Dell, I would be, you know, we talked about this at the Dell Tech wrap-up.
Yeah.
Dell wants to be, you know, IBM 30 years ago. And you know, don't stoop.
Yeah.
Not that it's, but it's working for Pure, right? We did this at AMD back when we entered the server business in 2005, 2006, mm-hmm. right? We challenged the heck out of the incumbent.
Yeah.
And sometimes they bit, and that was to our benefit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a fan of Pure's approach. I wouldn't change what I'm doing if I was Pure. If I was Dell, maybe I'd be a little more measured.
Yeah. You know, something you said in there about their revenue splits, North America versus rest of world, 70-30. One of the things, going back to HPE, one of the things I was really impressed with was when I looked at their revenue distribution, it was, these aren't the exact numbers, but it was pretty close to a third, a third, a third between the Americas, Europe, and APJ. That's pretty impressive. When you see that, you feel, you know, as the U.S. will go through economic cycles, it's going to impact what your revenues look like. But when you're spread so evenly like that, you know, you kind of it speaks to a company that is kind of very recession proof is not the right word, but certainly positioned to weather the storm better than others. Their investment in China with H3C is also contributes to that. I think it positions them very strongly kind of over the next few years.
So you mentioned China. I'm going to switch gears again.
Yeah.
I forgot my bell. Are we worried as we look at what's going on politically with China? Neither of us are experts on geopolitics and trade wars. You know, and I don't really want to talk about Huawei much, but do you think there's danger of expanding and hurting Lenovo and H3C and the other things that we're seeing that are kind of spanning China and the U.S.?
I don't know that it directly hurts Lenovo or H3C. I mean, they're following. I don't think either of those companies. They're are greatly impacted by the trade war in that they are majority of China owned companies, right? 51-49. They each have their own. So H3C is a minority owned HPE company. Right. And they have access to IP, even at the CPU level, that is kind of developed and born in China versus the U.S. So they're still able to sell servers and infrastructure into that market. I don't know about from the storage side, but I know from the compute side, there's coverage there. Okay. I'm not sure about Lenovo. I don't know about how they operate in China, but because of their success, I have to think it's a similar situation in that there's a subsidiary that's at least 51% owned by the Chinese and 49% by Lenovo North America that enables them to be as successful as they are. Right? You don't want to talk about Huawei, but you kind of have to some degree, because they're the real political pawn in all of this. I don't see these other guys as being nearly as impacted as Huawei is.
Well, no, and I think there's some extenuating stuff with Huawei, right? I mean, they're trying to be part of, they're trying to be your 5G infrastructure, and they're leading the technology there.
Yeah,
I think there's a little bit of piling on from their competitors and egging on,
yeah.
Lobbying, right? Because anything that hurts Huawei is good for you know, name your North American networking provider.
Right.
So they may have some headwinds that you don't see in the more data center space.
Yeah. What's interesting is the number of companies that are lining up behind the U.S. in all of this. And it makes me wonder if this is just a full frontal attack on some of the, because you always hear about the IP theft and it's real, right? And you wonder if this is the opportunity for, you know, kind of everybody to unite and kind of force some resolution to kind of this, what I think many would say is unfair playing field from an IP technology IP perspective.
Sure. And what surprised, one of the first people to cut off Huawei was ARM.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not clear what they cut off. It may be their, you know, their license to develop ARM.
Well, so it's for licenses that are already in play. There's nothing they can do about them. It's the support and updating of IP that helps that development effort. And then for products that are in market, there's absolutely no support whatsoever. But I just read on this. It's weird because the U.S. just granted a 90-day window to ARM and to everybody else and the Chinese to continue as is while they try and work out issues with the Chinese government. So I'm not sure what the full impact on that is yet.
Yeah, I'm not smart in this area. I mean, I'm watching it and learning as we go, just like we all are.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, once the United States government says turn these guys off, what that actually means, yeah. Right? From ARM to Google.
Yeah.
Turning off Android.
Crazy.
Or the non-open source parts of Android, which is most of it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
The ARM one caught my eye, particularly not so much from the mobile phone business, but they're doing significant work with ARM and server, right?
They're probably leading the world in their, China in general is probably leading the world in its adoption of ARM for the data center. Yeah, both from a development and a deployment perspective. You know, Huawei developing and then Ali, Tencent, Huawei Cloud, all of those guys deploying in mass.
Right.
Yeah.
So it makes you glad you didn't keep the Huawei phone they gave you last year.
I gave that to Pat. I don't know how long he used it, but yeah. It was a nice phone, though, I'll say that. Damn it.
Good. What else is in the news you want to talk about that we haven't hit on? I'm scanning headlines right now to see what we missed while we were off doing conferences.
Yeah, I know. And you know, it's funny because we've been on the road for so long. It's like I feel like we completely missed some news cycles. Like we can't even bring up some stuff now because it's so outdated, right?
Right.
Which is okay, you know. That's quite all right.
We don't want to talk about it too late.
What's that?
I was just saying we don't want to talk about it too late. Just be timely.
All right. Yeah. I think the only other thing is I heard there was a little bit of a leak on AMD and Epic. I didn't see anything interesting in the leak that they put out. Other than it looks like they're going to do some kind of announce at Computex. I don't think the launch is going to be for some time, but
is this for consumer part or server part?
Server part. Yeah.
What are you expecting them to announce or do you already know and you can't talk about it?
I don't already know. Well, I kind of do and I shouldn't, so I won't.
Okay. Well then, yeah. Then that's not, hey, the other interesting AMD news, right, is, and this happened while we were at, in California, maybe the bug in hyperthreading, the security hole.
Mm-hmm.
It has hyperthreading, which when you turn off hyperthreading to fix it, kills the performance in a way that doesn't happen on AMD. So, good or bad for AMD?
Well, what do you think?
Or do we care? do you
think it's good or bad for AMD?
So if they can keep their capacity up.
Yeah.
I love it when the big guys stumble a little bit.
Yeah. You know,
not that I don't love Intel and everything they're doing, but you got to root for the underdog sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think I'm actually surprised that AMD didn't bang on this more.
They're being cautious, right? Maybe we don't understand the full impact of everything yet, right? This is still very recent, and this is a pretty esoteric kind of bug.
Yeah.
And apparently it's been there since hyper-threading in 2011.
Right. Which, by the way, I think it's smart that AMD is not banging on it so quickly, right? It shows that they're being a little bit more cautious. And I actually appreciate that. Because sometimes these companies, like you mentioned Pure, right? Kind of like how they are being, you know, very aggressive and snarky. And there's a line you cross, I think, when you're kind of the underdog and you're constantly poking the giant. There's a line you can cross where your return starts to become negative. And I'm glad to see AMD not that Pure is doing that.
Right.
But I'm glad to see AMD not doing that either, because, you know, that stuff always, karma always seems to come back and bite you in the butt. I will say, you know, you mentioned if AMD continues kind of in passing, I think everything I'm seeing, and there's nothing I'm giving away here, but everything I'm seeing is that the Rome version of Epic, is going to be pretty darn spectacular. And it's nice to see. I think this is where AMD begins to make inroads into the enterprise.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, kind of big cloud wins. I think this is where you start to see a lot of enterprises line up behind them.
Happy to see that. All right, we're running long. We're boring people.
Sorry.
Are you going to Discover? Have you decided?
I am going to go to Discover for the first couple of days. I have to come back because my son's going to orientation in Michigan State. You'll be there, right?
I will be there, and we will be podcasting.
We most certainly will. I can't wait, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be. Yeah, I don't get to Vegas enough.
Hey, guess what, though? We get to go have our breakfast again.
Looking forward to it. I'm bringing my wife.
Omelets are on me.
Awesome.
All right, go enjoy a long weekend. We're done, buddy.
All right.
Later. See you, bud. Bye.